Welcome to Your Turn, a program that comes to you periodically on Vermont Public Radio. It's a chance for you to talk with VPR President Robin Turneau. For the next hour, you're invited to offer your suggestions and observations on any aspect of VPR's operations, including music programming, news coverage, fundraising, finances, and future plans. You can get your comments to us in a couple of ways. You can call 1-800-639-2211. Email us at community@vpr.net, post your comments at vpr.net, or go to our Facebook page and post your comments there. In terms of programming, perhaps you want to offer comments on VPR news coverage. Maybe what's most fresh in your mind is coverage of the legislative session and this week of town meeting. VPR Classical, there have been changes there, which we'll get to momentarily. And there are other local segments like Vermont Edition and the Commentary Series and more recent local programming editions like VPR Cafe and Art Hounds that you might want to wish to weigh in on. If you've used the website, vpr.net, how easy are you finding what you're looking for? You're seeing more web content as a result of the creation of a new digital news team at VPR. Be interested in hearing your observations, comments on any of these topics or anything else that comes to your mind that may be VPR related. I'm Steve Zint, joined by VPR President Robin Turneau. Hi, Robin.
Hello, Steve. Thanks for being here with me this afternoon.
My pleasure. And again, our number 1-800-639-2211. We'd like to hear from you this hour. 1-800-639-2211. Well, let's start with VPR Classical, because it seems to me that's been something that people have responded to, classical listeners, quite a bit in the last few weeks. It was on February 17th, Robin, that VPR posted this message on our website, and I'll read it in part at least. In order to meet the needs and expectations of our listeners in the years to come, VPR recently made the decision to restructure the staff of VPR Classical and hire a managing producer. This restructuring ultimately will improve VPR Classical service and our ability to help foster a rich classical music community in Vermont. As a result of this change, the position of VPR Classical host producer held by Joe Goetz has been eliminated. As I mentioned, VPR has heard from a lot of listeners in the wake of that announcement. Here, just a few excerpts from comments. I think you'll soon come to regret this decision, one listener wrote. Can't understand the logic here. You've really done a disservice to your listeners, supporters, and your community, wrote another listener. Another individual described it as unfortunate. Eliminating yet another VPR-based host seems counterintuitive to the goals you state. And just today, Karen in Shalott wrote, although I'm quite aware and acknowledge that we listeners are not privy to the full reasons behind VPR's decision to discontinue its relationship with classical host Joe Goetz, I want to add our family's enormous disappointment over the decision. From where we stand as devoted listeners, we can't help but feel utterly confused. So to get back, Robin, to that initial announcement that the changes will ultimately improve VPR Classical, what sort of improvements, what sort of new directions in VPR Classical would this change enable you to incorporate?
First, I want to say that the restructuring that we did and the blog post that we wrote did focus on Joe Goetz, but it actually was part of a restructuring here at VPR that affected more than just that position. But Joe, of course, was an on-air host, and people are very well aware of him as a classical host in the afternoon on VPR. But it actually affected two different areas, the accounting department and VPR Classical. And so it affected the elimination of two positions here at VPR. I want to put that out there. And it was a very, very difficult position for VPR to be in, a difficult decision, not one made lightly at all. The reason that we made these choices was, first of all, in the accounting area, we're going to be in the process of hiring a staff accountant. We feel that this structure and the depth of accounting experience that we need will actually help position VPR better for the future. When it comes to Joe Goetz and the classical team, we are looking to hire a managing producer for VPR Classical. We are strongly committed to VPR Classical, and a managing producer will play more of a leadership role on the classical team. The position will have specific responsibilities, you might say, including the supervision of the classical staff, taking a very hard look at our digital presence for VPR Classical. On-air hosting is a part of it as well, so we're not going to lose that on-air presence that we have right now, had with Joe in the afternoons, and also fundraising, et cetera. So community engagement as well.
So as a VPR Classical listener, how's that going to make my listening experience better at some point in the future? What am I going to hear that I'm going to enjoy more?
Well, we certainly want to assure everybody that we will continue with the local hosting. I know how important that is, and it's very unique in a way to have a statewide public radio classical service that has the three hosts that we continue to envision for VPR Classical. We have high hopes for VPR Classical. We've been putting a lot of effort and energy and time and investment into VPR Classical and making sure that we reach all corners of the state. We're now up to, I believe it's 16 translators and transmitters around the region that broadcast VPR Classical. And we hope to see our audience numbers grow into the future and to serve more and more people. It's the whole point of a VPR Classical service at this point, because there's so many other ways to get classical music, of course, with Pandora and so many other online music sources. The point is that we want to make the service as relevant locally as possible and make sure that we're continuing to connect with the local classical music community and reflect that and promote what's going on and make sure that we can keep that community as strong as possible.
All right. Well, perhaps listeners have their own questions about VPR Classical. Our number is 1-800-639-2211. We're also taking questions, comments on the VPR news side of things as well. If you have anything to offer on VPR news coverage, whether it's local programming or national public radio programming, now's the time to engage with VPR President Robin Turneau. Again, at 1-800-639-2211 or by email at community@vpr.net, also at VPR's webpage or Facebook page if you would prefer to add your comments on those pages, then they're welcome there as well. We did get some comments, Robin, in advance of the program. Here's one that comes up periodically from Virginia in Barrytown, who says, "Can you please tell me why VPR still devotes 4 hours out of 4 hours, that is, out of every weekend to a Prairie Home Companion? I'm sure this costs us a boatload of money, and in my opinion, very little return. If you absolutely have to air Prairie Home Companion, even though it was totally over 10 years ago, Virginia says, why not just once? I'm pretty sure I'm not the only one who'd like to hear your answer. Thank you."
You know, we do get a lot of comments about Prairie Home Companion these days, and it's interesting to hear Virginia's comments. When I'm out in the community at my Your Turns that I do in person, most recently in St. Johnsbury and before that in Manchester, at both of those occasions, I did hear about Prairie Home Companion as well. And the answer to the question about why do we air it twice is because we know from looking at our audience data that the show that we broadcast on Sunday has a very significant audience, has more audience, more listeners at that time than on Saturday evening when it's live. But unfortunately, the contract with Prairie Home Companion says that in order to air it a second time, we have to air it live that first Saturday evening. And so it's a contractual arrangement or agreement that we have with Prairie Home Companion, and that's why we air it twice. We don't pay for that second.
It doesn't cost more to air it the second time.
No.
All right. Thank you, Virginia, for the comment. Again, 1-800-639-2211. Let's check in with Mark in Fletcher. Mark, thanks for calling.
Hello.
Hi, go ahead. You with us, Mark?
Hello?
We're here, Mark, if you can hear us.
Thank you for taking my call.
Yeah, thanks for calling.
Yes, I'm very concerned about the news portion of your programming. I find it very and just not following up. And things like Pussy Riot on the national news, it was a kind of an inflammatory part of your programming, but there was never a follow-up to it and nothing on, you know, online either about it to say that. And I'm wondering what happened or why. But that's just an example. Another thing is the national news portrays a small portion of the American public that's in control of a lot of decision-making in politics as the loyal opposition when they're just terrorizing the rest of us, and you give them a free pass on a lot of that stuff and don't follow up on certain issues. And I feel a lot of that news that's coming from the national news is just filtered through the acceptable listener thing. So I love your infotainment, and a lot of real stuff comes through on the infotainment, but it's kind of under the radar. But the national news is not worthy of listening to. And the local news doesn't have the transparency for everyday people that it needs, and it's always skewed in terms of larger interests.
Mark, what do you mean by transparency?
The whole service public board network fiasco. Very poor transparency issues there.
All right. Thanks. I think Mark's having a hard time hearing us, but I think we got the gist of his point. I mean, it is probably not unusual to field comments, first of all, about NPR news, Robin.
Absolutely. And I would say that I recall that the program Q and also NPR did follow up on that Pussy Riot story. So if you look at our website, I hope that if you search for that or at least go to the NPR website that you might find it there. Of course, Q is produced by the CBC. But I'm sorry that you feel that there's a lack of transparency. I would suggest that if you do have comments about NPR's programming or the BBC, let us know, because we can certainly take those comments and forward them on to NPR or the BBC. And it's just, I think it's important just to let us know about that. So we're happy to hear that out. The other place to look for this kind of a complaint about NPR would be the ombudsman. They have a very active ombudsman who you can look to the NPR.org website and see what they have to say, see if others share your thoughts about the way that NPR is approaching their national and international news.
I'm not sure what Mark meant about transparency when it's talking about local coverage, and I apologize that he couldn't seem to hear us very clearly, but if there are others who want to try to illuminate or elaborate on that point, again, our number 1-800-639-2211. This is Your Turn, an hour with VPR President Robin Turno. Our next call is from Joe in Middlesex. Joe, thanks for calling.
Hi there. I'm on the road. I hope you can hear me okay.
So far, so good.
Listen, I just was listening on the way home from Burlington on my way home this afternoon, and I had to call in as an advocate for Prairie Home Companion. I love the show, always have. Love that you play it twice. And, in fact, my 7 and 9-year-old sons love it and look forward to it every week. My oldest son, Otis, always wants to hear Lives of the Cowboys. So I wanted to thank you for that, and there's many, many of us who really love that. And I also wanted to say, I don't think you need to apologize about the contractual obligations, because it's great that it's live. How much live radio do my boys get a chance to listen to anymore? So I love that there's some live radio still and that it is relevant. And it's great. So thanks very much.
Thanks very much for the call, Joe. Here are two emails, both from individuals named David and but different people, both kind of making similar points. One of them writes, my wife and I sit down to dinner at or around 7 each evening and would really like some worthy music as an accompaniment, but they don't seem to like what they hear. Why they refer to Bill is spends all his time making dinner discordant. I don't know if that's a reference to...
That must be a reference to Bill McLaughlin and Exploring Music,
yes, okay,
that we have on from 7 to 8 p.m.
And then the other David, I believe, might be a VPR news listener, because he says, I miss George Thomas in Music in the Evening. I now turn off VPR at 8 p.m. and don't turn it back on until the morning. So two different listeners listening to the two different streams or services of VPR.
Right. And for David, who was talking about missing jazz, we do have a 24-hour jazz service that you can stream at vpr.net. It's excellent. I hope that you'll take a look and check it out because it does provide jazz music 24 hours a day. But, of course, we have Ruben, who is on Ruben Jackson on Friday nights from 8 to 11, providing jazz. And we do provide the music into the weekends with music on Friday and Saturday and Sunday evenings. So I hope that you'll make sure that you tune in for dinner those evenings. And I'm sorry that you're missing jazz during the week.
And I should add, Robin, that one of the David emails adds, your afternoon talk shows are only moderately interesting and duplicate much of what's better presented on Point. A better use of that time would be more provocative shows such as Democracy Now!, Diane Reams, and WAMC's Speaker's Corner. I guess just to use David's comment as a springboard, are there any programming changes in the offing at this point?
You know, we've made some programming changes recently that I'm actually curious about how listeners reacting to the changes. The Story, which was hosted by Dick Gordon at 2 o'clock in the afternoons, went out of production back in November. That program he decided to end the program, so there was nothing that we could do about that. But we replaced that program with Tell Me More, and that program is interesting. I think it sounds very different than the other NPR programs that we have. It's hosted by Michelle Martin, and I think it brings fresh voices to the airwaves, different perspectives, and different looks at the headlines, you might say, and issues that are relevant to multicultural life in America. The program was really popular at 9 o'clock at night, so we moved it to 2 o'clock in the afternoon when there's more audience. So I was curious about how people are reacting to that program, but we don't have any other program changes that are on deck to happen anytime soon.
Let's move to Hanover. Elizabeth is waiting to talk to Robin Turneau. Hi, Elizabeth.
Hi. I want to join the chorus of people who regret the passing of Joe Getz. I really enjoyed him and his voice. And a lot of us have old ears now, and a voice like Joe's is very welcome. The other thing I would say is that I enjoy your Saturday afternoon programs, which run on regular VPR opposite the opera. I'm not an opera person, but the program from Montreal and Radiolab really make my afternoon on Saturdays. Thank you for that.
Thank you, Elizabeth, for
Thank
your
you.
Call.
So you enjoy Radiolab and Spark, I think is the program that you're referring to from the CBC on Saturday afternoons. Well, Elizabeth, I understand that you miss Joe. Our listeners tell us all the time that our hosts are kind of like family. You spend a lot of time with them. It's easy to develop a kind of a relationship through the radio. Radio is an intensely personal medium, and we understand how difficult it can be to adjust to a change like this. So thank you for letting me know about your thoughts on Joe, and I hope that you'll continue to stay tuned in as we look to find a managing producer who will have an on-air presence on VPR Classical.
Again, the number for the remaining 40 minutes of your turn with the VPR president, Robin Turneau, 1-800-639-2211, or you can email us at community@vpr.net. We'd like to hear from you. If you have any questions about any aspect of VPR programming or operations, now is the time to engage Robin with your questions or comments. Let's talk next with Rip, who's in Walden. Rip, go ahead.
I was listening to the caller speaking about NPR News and also curious to hear that mention of Democracy Now! In the email and thought I'd put in my 2 cents worth. I wouldn't hope to change anything in NPR News. I would like to be able to, but I don't have that hope. I think that it's pretty clear that NPR News is part of the major U.S. media that control what people in general know and about politics and international affairs in the U.S. Democracy Now! Is an example of one of the kinds of programs that I wish VPR would think about. There, too, I think, you know, if you're so committed to NPR News, it betrays an attitude that gives me no real hope that you would think of putting on something like Democracy Now!, but I think it would be a great service to public awareness.
Okay, Rip, thanks very much. Democracy Now! Is something that listeners have brought up well, pretty consistently over the years.
Yeah, we definitely have heard mention of the program over the years, and it's something that we looked at, we had looked at in the past. It actually is available now. I don't have the exact count, but I think it's on 22 radio and TV stations across Vermont right now. So I hope that, Rip, you certainly can find it in other places, because it is evidently available. It's also being produced now more for television than for radio, as a matter of fact. But it's not a show that we felt would fit with VPR. And we think it offers basically a clear kind of editorial slant.
And, you know, Rip's comment, which reflected the earlier comment, was that there's a corporate media tone, in his view, to the news that he hears on NPR. I mean, you go to NPR, and perhaps you probably don't sit on editorial discussions,
no.
But I just wonder if NPR itself is aware of those concerns raised by some listeners and how what the response is.
Yeah, I think that NPR gets a lot of feedback, of course, itself from its broad audience across the United States. So I'm sure that it hears from listeners who have similar comments, as well as from people who are big fans, of course, of NPR News. You know, I would say that we broadcast NPR News because we have the greatest confidence in NPR as an organization. It's served us very, very well. But we also make a point to broadcast the BBC because we want to offer listeners another perspective. And then we also offer programs from WBUR in Boston because we want to offer an alternative perspective as well. So it's, I think if you listen overall to the entire lineup of VPR programs, hopefully you're going to be getting varied voices and varied takes on the day's news. And that's why one of the reasons why we've been trying to bring in more programs, for instance, from the CBC, although it's not technically a news program, Q does offer an interesting perspective about culture. So that's... Yeah.
Some people might argue, too, that BBC offers an added perspective.
Absolutely.
That might not be heard on domestic news services, but not everybody likes BBC, including Alan in Claremont, New Hampshire, who writes he doesn't care for their announcers, and, quote, the BBC will spend a long time examining issues in Zimbabwe or Thailand, well beyond informing us of what's going on, while not reporting on more significant issues in countries that have more impact on the world than the U.S. I'd rather have more news from NPR or VPR, Alan writes, than continue to invest in resources in the BBC.
VPR does certainly have many hours of the BBC on overnight and at 9 a.m. And, you know, the BBC, I guess, is not for everyone. We hear from people for whom it is a little too grating. They're a lot more direct, you might say, than the way that NPR and VPR does news. But we do think it is so important for listeners to hear many different voices in the news and from different news organizations who might have a different take on for instance, news from the United States. So I hope that you can hang in there and listen to the BBC at 9 a.m., as I said. We do, for those people who are diehard BBC fans, on our website, we have a 24-hour stream of the BBC, as well as if you have an HD radio on our channel HD3.
A couple more listener comments. Allison in Rutland writes, I'd just like to share my appreciation for Charlie Nardozzi's Vermont Garden Journal. Those segments are among my most favorite. His enthusiasm is infectious and always brightens the day. My only request would be to please put him on earlier in the day for an uplifting moment in the morning, and then I can look forward to my garden work in the afternoon. And Anne Marie emails that she likes Tell Me More. It's fresh with a wide range of voices. I'm very pleased that it's now on at 2 o'clock. So perhaps you agree or disagree with Allison, Anne Marie, or Alan, whose comment about the BBC we read a moment ago. We'd like to hear from you on your turn at 1-800-639-2211 or email community@vpr.net. Let's move next to Dirk in Orange. Hi, Dirk. Thanks for joining us.
Hi. I've got a couple of comments. First of all, I think the new website, especially the way it's been configured for handheld devices, is great. It's very easy to use. I love the Eye on the Sky little app that you can play when you get up to see what the weather's going to be like. The interactive feature with the Sochi Vermont Olympians was really fun to follow. And I guess my more critical comment would be of all the Vermont commentators, a lot of the commentary tends to be, you know, gee, isn't Vermont a great place? Isn't it swell here? You know, and it is, of course, but I think I get more out of the commentators that have, you know, a level of expertise or knowledge in a specific field. I'm thinking of Barry Dunsmore, Charlie Nardozzi, Peter Gilbert. That's the kind of commentary that I really enjoy listening to.
Thanks very much for those comments, Dirk. The commentary series is something that we've actually been paying a lot of attention to over the last year or so. We undertook a project designed to actually identify a new generation of commentators that represent diverse cultural and ethnic points of view and expertise, as you point out. Some of the newer voices that you might have heard, such as Abigail Manoukian and Kara Fitzgerald, Becky Karush, Daniel Barlow, Luke Stafford, just to name a few. But we have the same kind of thinking that you do about the commentary series. We'd like to make sure that it's more focused on current events and more focused on experts in their field, you might say. So it's something that we're looking very carefully at. But we have some terrific commentators, as you mentioned, with Charlie and Peter and Barry, and also Madeline Kunin and Deborah Luskin and Susan Cook Kittredge, to name a few others.
Thank you, Dirk, for the comment. And picking up on one thing Dirk mentioned, Robin Rhoda in New Haven writes, I'm an avid VPR listener and enjoy your programming very much. I was wondering why you don't have weather segments on the weekends for those of us who might miss them on Friday. It'd be nice to have an eye on the weekend weather on the weekends.
You know, I don't have the schedule in front of me for the answer for Rhoda, but I know we do have Eye on the Sky on the weekends. I believe that there is a weather forecast. I know there is during weekend edition, as well as at noon. There's a longer forecast. And then we do take the information that we get from the Eye on the Sky, and we have weather forecasts on Sunday. But it sounds like Rhoda would like to hear more from Mark Breen and Steve Maleski and the other weather.
It sounds like a little bit less than she might find on a weekday.
Exactly. That is so true. That is so true. Well, that's a good comment. Thank you. Thank you, Rhoda.
I think another thing that's changed on the weekends that I should have mentioned earlier was there's more of a local news presence on the weekends these days.
There is, absolutely. We have committed ourselves to making sure that our listeners have access and information and news 7 days a week. That is not something that was the case even just 6 months ago or so. We didn't have nearly the news presence that we have on the weekend like we do now, but we are committed to having news throughout the day, 7 days a week. And we have Annie Russell, who works on the weekends now and makes sure that she's covering what's happening on the weekends and preparing us for a Monday morning. So yes, that's certainly a difference.
Let's check in with Mary in Brattleboro. Mary, thanks for joining us today.
Oh, thank you very much. I do enjoy VPR very much. But I commute early in the morning from like 5 o'clock to 6 o'clock in the morning, and I tend not to listen only because the news is not really motivating and inspirational in that hour of the morning. I was hoping you could maybe do a little tweak there just for those of us who do commute in that time frame.
So when you're listening, there's the BBC is on when you're listening.
Yeah. Yeah, and it's really, I actually probably only listen mostly in the evening just because it's more relaxing in the evening for me and my listening type. But I'm just putting it out there as a possibility that you might.
Yeah, interesting. You know, Morning Edition, the program actually does begin officially at 5 a.m., but we choose to start it at 6 a.m., and I'm wondering if that might be something that you'd want us to consider going forward.
Oh, that might be wonderful for those of us who enjoy listening to you. That would be great. And also, I mentioned when I called in the Twitter that you have. There is another one, VPR Twitter. And I frequently think I'm tweeting to the VPR, and I'm not. It's another one. So maybe we could somehow, more clearly differentiate that this is really your tweet.
Sometimes those hashtags are confusing.
The hashtags are very confusing. Yeah, if you want to follow VPR Net, that is one way place to follow for VPR or VPR News, hashtag VPR News. You can check out our website, and it gives you all the different Twitter handles that we use. And many of our reporters have a huge presence on Twitter, and you can look to see who you might want to follow.
Mary, thanks for the call. Keep your spirits up. It's hard to do this time of year as it is. This is your turn, a chance for you to offer comments to VPR President Robin Turnow. She's here for another half hour or so to respond to your concerns, questions, queries on any aspect of VPR's operations. And there are several ways you can get in touch with us. Call 1-800-639-2211. Talk directly with Robin. Or email us at community@vpr.net. You can even post on our website, vpr.net, or go to our Facebook page. This is your turn, which is a chance for you to weigh in with your thoughts on news and music programming, finances, fundraising, any other VPR-related topics. We're with VPR President Robin Turnow for another half hour or so as she responds to your questions or comments. 1-800-639-2211 or email community@vpr.net. We had some critical comments about BBC. Trisha writes, I love the BBC. I listen both at 5 and 9. Whenever I've been able to, some of the programs for them that are on overnight, I appreciate, I listen as well. I appreciate them very much and wish they were on at a time when I could listen regularly. So don't lose BBC at 5 a.m. Trisha writes, couple more comments. Zach Williamson, aside from Morning Edition and All Things Considered, I generally like the following shows. Here and Now, Marketplace Weekend, Splendid Table. Put Zach down as someone who doesn't care for BBC either. Marion Putney says, loves Tell Me More. Issues are looked at more in depth, like the way Michelle Martin connects with guests. Always look forward to My Place, which is more readily available now to VPR
it
listeners.
It is. This is something that I was hoping that would come up that I'm so proud of. This is a great new initiative here at VPR that we have so many fans of Joel Nashman, who's been on VPR for decades, and his program, My Place. And what we were, what we've done recently is put a stream available on the website. So you can go to our website, and in the upper left, there's a thing that says Listen Now, and you click on that, and it'll take you to all the many different streams that we have. One of them is the My Place stream, and we have it available for you to listen to, for listeners to listen to at any time. We've struggled for this with a long time, I'll have to admit. We wanted to do this a while back.
Why is it such a big deal?
It's so hard with music rights issues are very challenging. And so the way that we've been able to do this is in a three-hour loop, a stream that you can tune into at any time, but you can't start it at the beginning. You kind of tap into it as it's going.
Oh, so it's constantly streaming and you just get in when you click on it.
Exactly. Okay. And we have the latest two My Place programs in that loop, along with a public radio remix, which is some of the best of public radio. So there's some talk programming in there for an hour as well, but really great, great content.
So you'll be able, from henceforth, the My Place programs will be able to be streamed. They'll be archived.
Except the latest two programs you'll be able
so
to
only
hear.
A only few
latest
are going
two.
To be archived.
And the reason that we do that is because listeners like to hear or like to know what the playlist was for one of Joel's programs, and we can't legally, because of music rights issues, we can't legally post the playlist when that is, when we have the stream, that three-hour loop running. So the program that was three programs ago, you'll be able to see the playlist for that, but you can't ever listen to those on demand,
right.
You might say.
And couldn't you do the same thing for all the traditions?
We could definitely do the same thing for all the traditions, and we are exploring that right now. So give us a couple of months and hopefully we'll be able to announce that All the Traditions is also available as a stream.
Okay, let's check back in on with callers, beginning with Kevin in Cambridge. Hi, Kevin. Thanks for calling us today.
Hello. How are you today?
Good. How are you?
Good. I had one quick question and two comments. One question, my question is, sorry, I'm just barking dog here. My question is, have you changed your signal in Burlington? Because I find that it's really not nearly as good as it used to be. And then my two quick comments are, one is on fundraising. I know you're putting a lot of emphasis on sustaining listeners, but it strikes me as you're trying to get more out of a smaller pool. I don't have any great suggestions on fundraising other than maybe a little bit forcefulness or something like that, but I know people don't like it. But it just seems like, you know, if you're having budget issues, focusing on a smaller pool to get more out of them regularly may not be the wisest idea. And then lastly, I just wanted to say, I agree with an earlier caller. I think that in terms of investigative and follow-up reporting, it's not always there. I'm thinking specifically about Vermont Health Connect and all the issues with that. And I'd heard shows with both the governor and the gentleman whose name escapes me, who's in charge of Health Connect.
Mark Larson.
What I heard was a lot of sort of equivocating, humming, hawing, and, geez, we're sorry, feel sorry for us, and, you know, and the person interviewing them kind of letting them go with that. And I'm not suggesting they be crucified, but I think you could push them a little bit harder to get some information.
Hey, Kevin, are you talking about 107.9 when you were talking about reception?
Correct.
Okay. All right, well, you covered a number of points. Let's begin with that one. Thanks, Kevin.
Kevin, thanks for your comments, and thanks for calling in. I don't know of any problems with our 107.9 signal that comes right off of Mount Mansfield. It's winter. There could be, you know, there's harsh conditions on those mountaintops, so it could be that there's some icing or something that is affecting the signal, but I have not heard of that from our engineering team here at VPR. Your second question was about fundraising, and I think that's an interesting one. We certainly are looking at ways to, you might say, diversify our fundraising going forward, because we recognize that pledge drives might not be the way that we raise money into the future. They are critical right now for identifying new listeners to VPR, new members. But we do think that the sustaining member idea is a very good one, and we are dedicated to and very committed to making sure that that remains something that we build into the future. We have right now over 11,000 sustaining members of our 28,000 members. So that pool of sustaining members has been growing, and we can envision it growing even further. So I don't think of it as being a smaller pool. I actually think of more people becoming sustaining members. And for us, that is the way that we'd love to see VPR's mm-hmm. fundraising move. Thanks also for your comments about wanting VPR reporters to push a little harder, ask harder, tougher questions, you might say. I'll have to say that I think we do ask tough questions. Oftentimes, the fact is that our guests just aren't answering, and we can ask, and we can ask again, and we can ask again, but it doesn't always result in an answer from our guests. And I think that in itself might be telling about who it is that's being interviewed and their lack of wanting to respond.
Thank you again, Kevin. Let's Levine wrote a note, Robin, wondering about the cost of some programs, BBC programs, and he asked, can Robin talk about the cost of BBC, especially BBC, All Things Considered, the afternoon programs, I guess just generally what the network programs mm-hmm. cost and how much difference there might be from program to program in their cost.
Right. Well, the programs that we receive from NPR, All Things Considered, Morning Edition, those two combined are in the price tag is around $550,000, $600,000 a year, somewhere in that that range.
And is that based, it must vary from station to station. What's it based on?
It does vary station to station. It's based in part on how much we raise locally in our audience. So the more successful that we are in a way, the more that we
pay. Kind of an ability to pay thing.
Yeah, it definitely is, because mm-hmm. there's so many smaller stations who could never afford what we pay for Morning Edition or All Things Considered. But we certainly, as a collective system, we want to make sure that public radio programs of that caliber are available in smaller markets. So smaller stations do pay less. When it comes to programs like the BBC, I'm sorry I don't have the exact number on the top of my head, but in comparison, it's much less expensive for us to buy the BBC programs or for the rights to broadcast the BBC programs. I think it's more in the range of $30,000 a year or so. So it is much less expensive overall, but the BBC does provide its programming to all around the world. And it's also funded in a very different way. It's funded through through the government, of course, in the UK.
And then the afternoon programs like Here and Now or On Point, those vary in cost?
They do, absolutely. So a program like Fresh Air might cost $30,000 a year, or Car Talk on Saturday mornings, one of the most expensive hours of public radio programs, programming, again, in the range of $30,000. But that's just for 1 hour as opposed to shows that are 5 days a week. So it varies. It could be that some programs are free, but very, very few. More like segments might be free, like a Bird Note might be a free program. But most of the programs that we carry that are 5 days a week, we certainly pay for. Programs like Radio Lab as well, TED Radio Hour, those do cost varying amounts.
Levine, I hope that helps. Let's move back to the phones and talk next with Tom in West Wardsboro. Tom, welcome.
Oh, good afternoon. Thank you for having me. I just thought I'd share that during the evenings, or the nights, I should say, I have bouts of insomnia. And immediately I pop on NPR just so I could listen to BBC News, which I believe provides me with a world view. I also like Gian Gomeshi with the CBC. I really wish you did have Democracy Now! Because Amy Goodman is one of my favorite people. But all in all, NPR is the only radio station that I listen to, and thankfully it's because of BBC, et cetera.
Thank you, Tom. Another BBC fan in Tom. Susan, who's a sustaining member, writes, can anyone get Garrison Keillor to stop singing duets? He's embarrassingly bad and off-key. I'm sure you'll tell him that next time you see him, Robin.
Oh,
I love my place and all the traditions, Susan writes. Saturday morning, especially Car Talk and Wait, Wait. Sunday is also a great day all day. VPR on all day. Even when I'm out, my dog is the best informed black lab ever, Susan Aikman writes. And let's take a call now from Kenny in Hyde Park. Kenny, go ahead.
Good afternoon. I just want to say first that I think VPR/NPR airs the most balanced broadcast of any media. But that said, I have concerns that you maintain that balance, and that I think you folks are the best really hope for Democratic public to maintain that balance and watch the framing of your stories. Because this morning, as I listened to the story about the downvote on the nomination, President Obama's nomination, that was influenced by the Fraternal Order of Police, I didn't think you got to the heart, framed the whole story correctly about Mumia Jamal. And I'll also add, I concur with the folks interested in Democracy Now.
Kenny, thanks, appreciate the call.
Thanks very much, Kenny. I can definitely bring that comment back to NPR about the coverage that you heard this morning, or that you didn't feel was satisfactory for you. I can go back and listen to that myself as well. But I appreciate that you feel that VPRs and NPR are some of the most balanced news out there. Thanks for that.
Here's a message that came in before the program, Robin, from Rita in Bakersfield. We love VPR, but it's frustrating to try to listen up here. We only get VPR Classical on mono. We have to move our radios and antenna around daily. She says, please don't tell us to listen online or on our smartphones. We can't sit by our computer all day, and we don't get cell phone reception here. And then she makes another point. Most of your news reporting, Rita writes, pertains to southern Vermont. Do you have a reporter covering areas north of Burlington? You certainly have many in southern Vermont. We hear way too much up here about Brattleboro, Bennington, Rutland, Manchester, St. Johnsbury. It's all interesting, but not pertinent.
Interesting. Okay, thanks very much, Rita, for that comment. I'm perplexed as to why in Bakersfield you wouldn't be getting a good signal from 107.9, because you certainly should be. So we can check on that. We are a beautiful state, but we are a mountainous state, and that can prove to be incredibly challenging for broadcasters. And sometimes it's a matter of a mountain or a hill or something being in the way of that FM signal that can be problematic. You know, on our website, we have a very good guide to good reception. And I encourage anyone who's not getting good radio service, who doesn't want to stream VPR, to check that out, because there's a very inexpensive fanfare whip antenna that we recommend that can actually be very effective in getting a good radio signal. And Rita, thanks for your comments about more news coverage of northern Vermont, north of Chittenden County, that's for sure. I hear that. And just the other day, for instance, on town meeting day, we did have somebody, one of the reporters from the St. Albans Messenger, who was on the air with us. So we're paying more attention to that. And thanks for that comment.
Let's move to the phones again. Here's Igor in Burlington. Igor, thanks for calling.
Hi, how are you? Thank you so much for having me. First and foremost, I just wanted to thank you for the great service. I listen almost every day when I can, not working. I know you pride yourself to be a non-biased station, but I have a problem with BBC. I know that you're non-biased. And like she said earlier, BBC is government-funded. I was wondering if you source-check the information that you get BBC, because every time I listen, I see a lot of information that seems to be wrong.
Anything come to mind, Igor? Any specifics?
Well, personally, specifically, it's supposed to be a worldview. I myself was in South Ossetia in Russia during the last Summer Olympics when BBC reported that Russia attacked Georgia, but I was right there on the line, and it was actually the other way around, where Georgia attacked Russia. But BBC and all other world news headquarters reported otherwise. And since then, I wasn't able to trust anything that comes out of the world news. And I just question almost everything that BBC reports.
Thanks, Igor. BBC seems to have struck a nerve today.
Yeah, certainly. We're getting a lot of comments, both pro and con for BBC. Well, thanks for that, your comments, Igor. I appreciate hearing how you feel about the BBC. We can certainly let them know that we're getting comments both, again, for and against the BBC programming today.
I think, though, in answer to Igor's question, to my knowledge, VPR doesn't fact check their
reporting. Oh, we don't fact check. No, I'm sorry. I should have picked up on that. We do not fact check or source check the BBC News. We assume that they are, as they are such a widely respected news organization, that they are have a very strong editorial process in-house.
Here's Andrew in Rutland for VPR President Robin Turneau. Hi, Andrew.
Hey, how are you? Thanks a lot for having this program. I think it's a really good service to have for your listeners in general.
Thanks for calling.
I just wanted to say that, I hope we're done with it for the season, but my son does not. And I wanted to compliment you on having the best school closing list on any website anywhere in the state.
That's great. Thank you, Andrew.
Right,
well,
thanks, Andrew.
I have to say, as a parent of two high school students myself, I appreciate our school closing list as well. And it has become easier to access these days when you use the VPR, either iPhone or Android app, because we've made it very integrated into our app so you can quickly see if there's school closings in your town.
Andrew, thanks again. Let's check in with Judy in Fayston. Judy, thanks for calling us today.
Yeah, hello. Thanks a lot. I got to say, VPR is one of the best PBS stations I've ever have been able to listen to. I have a big problem with Garrison Keillor. I hear somebody else has, too. On Prairie Home Compact, well, I'll go back to Writer's Almanac first. He does not recognize that women exist as much as men. he will use poetry, women's poetry, at the end lots of times, but usually it's men that he will deal with. He will say, you know, are the writers to be praised. And on Prairie Home Companion, it was always the same. And I don't listen to it anymore. Once is plenty. I turn it off when it comes on because women were always objects on Prairie Home Companion. He has gotten away from that in the last decade or two, I think. But thanks so much for what you do.
All right, Judy, thank you. Have you ever heard that comment
before? Thank you,
Judy.
I had not heard that comment before, so that's certainly something that I'm going to pay attention to as I listen to Writer's Almanac, certainly.
Here's a note from Craig and Wilder. A few years ago, you took my question about the issue of bringing public radio to a new generation of listeners. From your perspective, how is the public radio community doing in this respect? Craig wants to know.
Yes, interesting. It's something that we think about a lot here at VPRs. How do we bridge the divide, if there is one, between the current generation that listens to public radio and future generations? And we're definitely thinking a lot about the digital sphere, because that is where we feel we need to focus as more and more people are seeing the world, hearing the world, and seeing their news through their smartphones. I heard a recent fact that 61% of all American U.S. adults have smartphones. And so that is the way that people interact with their world these days. So for us, that's certainly a clear focus of ours. But all indications right now about the health of VPR overall are very good. We have more members than ever before. Underwriting is very strong right now. And our listenership and our digital audience is growing, which is terrific.
A long email, actually a series of emails with many compliments about VPR from Mark in Meriden, New Hampshire. And that series of emails ended with one question. Mark wants to know, does VPR provide access to its membership lists to any third parties?
We do not, Mark. Thanks for that question. We do not provide or share our mailing list with anyone. So you can feel secure and safe in giving your membership information, your address to VPR.
1-800-639-2211. This is an installment of an occasional program on VPR called Your Turn, Your Chance to Pose Your Questions, offer your comments about all things VPR to President Robin Turneau. 1-800-639-2211. community@vpr.net is the email address. You can also go to our webpage, vpr.net, or our Facebook page to post your comments. Let's talk next with Sherry and Sharon. Hi, Sherry.
Hi. Thank you for having me on.
Sure,
can
go
you
ahead.
Hear me?
We can find Sherry.
Yes. I, too, would like for Harrison Keeler to get off the radio station. I, too, turn it off when he comes on. But as a multiracial family living in Vermont for some 50 years and trying to get your station through various ways over the mountain and various antennas and everything, I'm glad now to be able to get it when I turn to it, or it's placed on your station. But I would like to say that Tell Me Now is great, and I enjoy listening to various cultures and comments. Keep up the good work.
Thank you, Sherry. Sherry calling in from Sharon to talk about
Tell Me More. Thank you very much, Sherry, for those comments.
Here's Steve in Middlesex. Steve, welcome.
I want to applaud the overall station, especially the strength and coverage statewide, because I travel a lot. But I would like to offer a couple of comments. I would prefer, and I think a lot of people would, to hear more of the crowdsourced content from Art Hounds instead of the solicitations for more Art Hounds. It seems like I pick up that contribution maybe once every second or third week, and yet I hear 40 solicitations to get more of them. Secondly, I'd like to propose you use that same model, both of the crowdsourcing for Art Hounds as well as the for other topics, as well as the mapping, the follow the money piece you did on the website. We should look at where the broadband money is going, community by community, targeted on the maps. And we should maybe try to engage some more involvement in the 10-year telecom plan using the crowdsourcing model that you've done for Art Hounds, because there's a real opportunity to influence that process now, but there's not a really open mechanism to get people aware and talking about it.
Great suggestions. Thank you very much, Steve. I agree with you that we do promote Art Hounds a lot. We are trying to encourage a lot of participation in that. But I hear that you want to hear more about actually what people are saying about what's coming up this coming weekend. So thank you for that comment. And in terms of using crowdsourcing to expand upon the work that we've done already and to do more in that realm, your idea of the broadband, we can definitely take that back to the newsroom. You will find that we are doing even more digital build-outs, digital displays of data online, and it's been wonderful to see the work that we've done. You mentioned mapping the money. We also have had wonderful reporting online with town meeting coverage. You can see that was certainly crowdsourced by through Twitter, et cetera. But point well taken, and we'll continue to look at ways to use that tool.
We've got just a couple of minutes left, Robert. And I wanted to ask you about VPR strategic plan, which is posted at the website. And one element of that plan envisions an expansion of VPR facilities, which is a pretty ambitious expansion. Perhaps you could talk about the need for that and what it will enable VPR to do.
Sure, yeah. We are looking right now at expanding our facilities here at our Colchester facility. We've been in this facility for about 20 years now. It was built for 27 people. We now have more than 40 working in the building. It's a little tight, and so we are looking to create a newsroom that can house our digital team right alongside our news team, right alongside our Vermont Edition team and any other news teams that we have into the future. So we are looking at raising some money in the next couple of years.
A capital campaign.
It certainly is a capital
separate
campaign
from the regular fundraising.
You got it.
Campaign. One comment made or a phrase used in the strategic plan when it's talking about this expansion is additional studios, which would make it possible for VPR to provide more broadcast services, including public media music program currently not available to Vermonters through traditional radio. What is that referring to?
We have looked across the public radio landscape, and there's a lot of interesting trends in what's happening in public radio music. And one of the more successful public radio music formats is what we call like a AAA format, which is adult album alternative. But it is basically the music of today, singer-songwriter music, that we know we have an incredibly robust music scene right here in Vermont. And it would highlight the local music that is more contemporary, you might say. That's what we're thinking. We're looking to see if we have the resources to carry that out over the next couple of years.
What's it going to cost, this expansion?
It does. Are you talking about facilities or are you talking about
facilities?
Facility-wise,
yeah.
We are looking to raise $10 million total over the next couple of years to build out the facility, but also to add to that a programming fund that we can use to strengthen our programming in the future.
All right. We have just a comment or two, or time for a comment or two. Tim is on the phone, but I think I'll just convey his question, which is pretty straightforward. Why are we still airing Car Talk?
Uh-huh. Car Talk is one of the most popular programs that there is in public radio. It is, I think, still the most listened to hour of public radio, even though it is not new content. It is not necessarily repeats exactly, because what the producers at Car Talk are doing is taking content calls, over 12,000 calls that they had over the years, and creating and putting together new programs that won't sound exactly like the old programs that you've heard, but it still remains appointment listening for so many of our listeners, and we hear it again and again that families love to listen to Car Talk together.
VPR President Robin Turneau, we're out of time, but thanks.
Thank you.
You can keep the comments coming through VPR's website, over the phone, snail mail, or by email. Our program was produced by Franny Bastian and Michelle Jeffrey, and directed today by Peter Biello. I'm Steve Zend. NPR News is next, followed by Fresh Air.